So welcome to our very first show, Be in the Know, and we have a very special guest from the Midwest Food Bank, Mr. Mike Hoffman. Mike, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great.
Doing wonderful. I bet a lot of people don't actually know how big the Midwest Food Bank actually is. How big are you?
Well, it depends if you're talking about just here in Bloomington or nationwide. You know, the history of the food bank goes back to 2003 when a local farm family decided they wanted to give back to those people in McLean County that needed help. So they started this food bank to help 10 food pantries in Bloomington Normal. That was in 2003.
Okay.
So we're only 14 years later, right?
Mm-hmm.
And right now we are serving just over 1,100 food pantries, and they're serving over 1 million people a month.
Wow.
So yeah, we've gotten quite big quite fast.
Oh, yeah.
Here in Bloomington, we serve 230 food pantries every month. And in turn, they're feeding about 200,000 people a month out of those food pantries. So what we do is we procure food in large amounts, semi-loads basically. And then we take that food and we sometimes have to repackage it because it's in bulk packaging. Sometimes we have to, you know, break down pallets, whatever. And then the pantries come pick up their food and they get that food for nothing and take it back to their pantries and hand it out to those in need.
Okay, Mike, so let's talk about volunteers now. You're probably always looking for volunteers, right?
We are always looking for volunteers. However, if you wanted to bring a group of 15 or 20 people to the food bank to help and you called in, they would probably tell you we need to pick a date sometime now, probably into June. We're that far booked out. But we've always got room for two or three or four.
Okay.
We can always work you in. But you know, the volunteers are the lifeblood of Midwest Food Bank. What we do takes volunteers. The amount of food we gave away in Bloomington last year was almost 1 million cases of food. So what's
that? I can't wrap my head around that.
Yeah, what's a million cases of food look like?
Yeah.
Speaking to a group the other night, they were high school kids, and I asked them the same question, what's 1 million cases of food? And they all looked at me kind of funny. And pretty soon one kid says, a lot?
Yeah.
I said, you are exactly right. I tried to figure out what 1 million cases of food was, and here's about the best way I can explain it. If we took a semi-trailer that's 53 feet long and we filled it with food.
So just a normal semi-trailer, okay.
Full 53-foot long semi-trailer. And we put them back to back to back to back. 1 million cases of food would go starting at the interstate on North Veterans Parkway.
Okay.
Past Menards out there.
Right.
Keep coming down past your studio.
Okay.
Keep going down past College Hills.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Keep going past Hy-Vee.
Right.
Keep going past the other mall, Eastland.
Eastland, yeah.
Keep going down past.
So basically the whole length of Bloomington Normal.
Keep going down past. You're getting the idea, aren't you?
Yeah.
It would go all the way to Main Street on the south end of Veterans Parkway. Down
oh, my goodness.
Dealerships. 6 miles long of trailers full of food is what 1 million. And that's what we gave away here in Bloomington. Between all of our food banks, it was a lot bigger than that. But
right.
Just in Bloomington, that's how much food. And all that food goes out at no cost because we have volunteers.
Right.
We need volunteers to come help pack us it. We need volunteers that go get the food for us. So we have three semis here in Bloomington. And every one of our truck drivers are volunteer truck drivers. So they don't even get paid. They're volunteers. They drive our trucks, get our food, bring it back. And we get food anywhere from New York to Florida to Texas to South Dakota and everywhere in between. So we put a lot of miles on our trucks.
Oh, yeah.
And so all that's done by volunteers. In addition to that, all the packaging, warehouse work, then giving it out to the food pantries every month takes volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
So last year, another number is really big and hard to get your hand around, and that is 44,000. That's how many hours of volunteer labor we had last year
our
food bank. Now, if you're an employer, you understand when you figure that up, that 44,000 hours, that is 22 full-time employees.
That's more than we have in this building.
But that's what we get in volunteers. And again, without the volunteers, we couldn't do what we do.
Oh, right.
And so it always takes volunteers to do a lot of different things. We're blessed by, in this town, several grocery stores that we pick up from. Bread every morning. We pick up produce and some meat 3 times a week. We go to all the Jewel stores, all the Kroger stores, Hy-Vee, and the 2 Schnucks stores. We pick up food there every day so that we can get it back to the pantries. And as soon as we get back to the food bank, it goes out to the pantries within an hour of the time it gets back. There's pantries waiting for it, so it gets out right away. So a great way to take food that would have been wasted for no reason at all and be able to get it in the hands of those people that really need it. It takes volunteers to go after that food every day. It takes,
right.
you know, labor to drive, someone to drive the truck, people to help lift it into the truck, get it back, separate it out, get it ready to go. So there's all kinds of different opportunities to help at the food bank.
So how do donations work? Can you just drop stuff off? Or is there regulations? Like, how does that all go down?
We can do some local food drives. We get a lot of the grocery stores will have a container there that you can buy extra groceries and leave it. We pick them up. There's food drives going on at different times. I know there's one going on right now one of the funeral homes in town is doing a big drive,
a
big food drive with their senior program. And so that's one food drive. Most of our donations come through corporations. So we're getting it through like Chobani Yogurt or through Cascade Paper Company or Kellogg's or through, you know, the main corporations. And we're picking up a full semi-load of cereal.
Wow. Okay.
Or we're picking up a whole semi-load of drinks or a whole semi-load of toilet paper. We pick it up by the semi-load all over the country and then bring it back.
Okay.
But the local donations really make a lot of difference, too. We have people that are doing like weekly, people bring in weekly when they go shopping, pick mm-hmm. up a little extra, drop it off at the
right.
food bank. With as many people as we're serving, we get it out to the people in need right away. And we can keep most of the local food that comes in from people here in Bloomington Normal right here in McLean County.
Okay.
Pretty neat.
Yeah. And to get a hold of you guys, you have a Facebook, you have a website. Can you kind of give us the rundown of
sure.
how to find you?
The best way to keep up with us is Facebook. We're on there. It's just Midwest Food Bank. There'll be a picture of the building on there, which mm-hmm. actually we need to change because the old building we're going to be out of tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about that, too.
And we start on the 17th. Right there and our new building. So
okay.
the other old building is down on the South Veterans Parkway. And we are moving out to the Northtown Road in Normal, just off of Northtown on Warehouse Road.
Okay.
So we're going from a 28,000 square foot facility, which is really big, to a 100,000 square foot building, which is really,
much
really
bigger.
Big.
Yeah.
But we've outgrown where we're at. We have a huge freezer and refrigerator out there that we can put up to 11 semi-loads of food in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 semi-loads in the cooler. And we've been really, really short on a lot of space. But we didn't have enough parking. We didn't have enough refrigeration. We didn't have enough, you know, parking for our trailers and our semis. We were just landlocked where we were at. Mm-hmm. And this just gives us a lot of great opportunities. So you want to come and see the new facility, stop out anytime out at Warehouse Road. I'd love to have as many people out as we can.
Okay, awesome. And working with different food banks throughout the state of Illinois, you find out that it's people that are working, like families that are, you know, both parents work that need this food. It's not just, you know, you think, oh, the homeless. No, it's people that are in houses. They're working. They could be your neighbors, but who needs food? Like, you can't just draw a picture of it.
No, that's another pretty big misnomer, I think, is what people have as a picture in their mind of who gets food from a food pantry.
Mm-hmm.
We do surveys with our organizations, and we talk with them all the time. And what we find is the vast majority of people that use food from a food pantry who we're serving are people who are maybe between jobs or people who are mom and dad are both working, but they just can't quite make ends meet.
Right.
Sometimes it comes down to, do I buy some extra food or do I buy the little boy a pair of shoes?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've got to make those hard choices.
Right.
And most of us haven't had to have that problem. I don't understand that. But it's now termed as food insecurity.
Oh, I've never heard of that term.
It's food insecurity in that you just don't have enough of that type of thing. So it's not necessarily the homeless, although there are a lot of people that are serving directly to the homeless people.
Right.
We've got agencies that pack food and take it directly out to those people. We've got people that, you know, the mainstream. We've got people that take it to seniors in some housing, you know, projects or some high rises
mm-hmm.
that are a little less fortunate in that area. There's a vast variety. You know, we start with the kids all the way up to the senior citizens.
Right. Okay. Well, Mike, anything else that you'd like to add? Anything that we missed?
I'll tell you about a cool program that we have in town. It's called the Backpack Program.
Okay.
And, you know, the hardest people that we find to serve are the seniors and the kids. They're the hardest to reach.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a program where we work with the local schools, and those schools come in once a month It's actually an organization for the school. Comes in, picks it up once a month, and then every Friday, they send home food in a child's backpack that is on the free and reduced lunch program to give them nutritional food to eat over the weekend.
That is brilliant.
Because I find that, you know, there's kids that go home on, they get free breakfast, free lunch, Monday through Friday. But sometimes they go home on Friday and the next decent meal they eat is Monday morning breakfast.
Oh, that's tragic.
And you know, it happens here in Bloomington. It happens in every community that we have. We're now helping 26 schools, and we have over 2,500 kids a week that we're serving and helping with those things. So we try to give them nutritional things like oatmeal packets. Everything is a middle school child or grade school child can actually fix themselves. A little can of macaroni, like Chef Boyardee type thing.
Right.
And it's a pop cup, so they don't have to worry about, you know, and it's microwavable.
Yeah.
Instant macaroni and cheese, breakfast bars, cereal bars, fruit sticks, all kinds of different things like that. And so it's really been a huge thing. They find that when kids are hungry, they don't learn. So by doing this, it actually helps the learning process as we get into school days on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So
okay, so to take part in that, if you wanted to volunteer, help out with that, just contact you at the food bank. And
And we can give you the items that, you know, most of the things that we use in the backpack program are not things that we get donated a lot. We actually have to purchase those things.
Okay.
You know, the instant oatmeal packets, the little macaroni and cheese, the little, so those types of things. So, you know, cash donations are always helpful towards our backpack program to help us with that. That one program alone is about a $40,000 investment that we do every year.
Wow.
But it's in our youth, and we're able to get it in their hands, and it really is making a big difference.
Oh, yeah, so it's getting where it needs to go.
Great program that we've grown, and it's still growing.
Right.
Like everything else.
Right. That's why you're in a new building.
That's right. So. Oh.
Okay, Mike, well, thank you so much. You are our very first guest on Be In The Know, and I picked good.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. I mean, I always want to thank the wonderful people of McLean County for all your great support in the food bank and what we do financially and with your time. Together, we're making a huge difference.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? Amid the chaos? Or is the best time perhaps today? Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to Be In The Know from the Illinois Symphony Orchestra. We have the executive director, Trevor Ortham, and also the marketing and communications manager, Beth Wakefield. Hello.
Hello.
And you guys have a couple more shows left, right, for this season?
We do. We have two concerts left for the season. We have our Pops concert, which is Gershwin's Greatest, featuring an evening of all Gershwin music, including Rhapsody in Blue, American in Paris, Promenade, which was actually written for a movie with Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers.
Oh.
And basically the music was written for when they were walking a dog.
Oh, nice.
So very clever. And then the I Got Rhythm Variations, and it will feature Canadian pianist Ian Parker, and will be led by one of our music director candidates, Vladimir Kalenovich, who is also music director of the Lake Forest Symphony, just north of Chicago.
Oh, okay. What I like about Gershwin is I did a Gershwin review in college, and you know most of the songs, but then there's some that you're like, oh, that's a Gershwin. Like, it's kind of surprising, like, every time you look into Gershwin music. I find that anyway.
Yes, yeah, no. Gershwin is one of those, and you know, it's the music that, like, everybody can relate to in America for some reason. You know, the Rhapsody in Blue was probably made famous by now the infamous airline United back.
Yeah. Let's not get into that. But yeah, we know what you're saying. So that's the Gershwin is the first show. And then the second show
is our season finale, our fantastic finale, which will feature Grammy Award-winning guitarist Jason Viau in Rodrigo's Concierto de Aranjuez, which is famous. If you hear it, you would say, oh, it's that piece, but probably by the name you wouldn't know it.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then Berlioz's Symphonie Fantastique, which is just a sort of his own life story of his love for a woman, and it gets rather twisted, and but is very, it's just a, it's a wonderful piece with a huge orchestra and will be a great way to close the season. And that concert will be led by Andrew Sewell, who is music director of the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra in Madison.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a very prestigious. Madison is very, like, artsy town, so.
Very. They have both a symphony orchestra and a chamber orchestra.
Nice.
And, I mean, it's one of those sort of jewels of a city in the United States, and very unique that they can, with for the size of the community, can basically support so much. Very generous community.
Mm-hmm. Beth, because you do the marketing and the communication, how do we get information on the orchestra? I'm assuming you have a website.
We do. You can go to ilsymphony.org and you can find out dates and times and location. Both concerts will be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. And you can call the ticket office also to get your tickets, which is 434-2777.
Okay, and where are you on social media?
We are IL Symphony on Facebook.
Okay.
And Twitter.
Twitter, okay. Do you have an Instagram yet?
No Instagram.
Oh.
We'll work on that. But we are on YouTube, and so sometimes you can check out some interviews on YouTube. You can check out clips of music from other orchestras that we'll be performing.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah. And you're talking about people from, like, Wisconsin, but there are local musicians in these shows, correct?
Yeah, there are. The Illinois Symphony is professional orchestra, but we pull in musicians from the Bloomington Normal area. We have some ISU faculty in the orchestra, some musicians from Springfield, but we also pull in musicians from Chicago, St. Louis, Indianapolis, Fort Wayne, and even as far as New York, Houston,
yes,
San
and
Diego.
We've had them as far as Los Angeles and San Diego. So, you know, the sort of the reputation of the orchestra is so good that musicians, many times they'll start playing here but then move somewhere else and want to come back and continue to play with the orchestra. So it's a great thing to have. That reputation, the camaraderie between the musicians is just wonderful and sort of, you know, unique.
Mm-hmm. It's unique, and it's really fun because it's a friendly family experience. I feel backstage just how the musicians interact with one another.
Yeah, and you kind of need that to work together on the stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So kind of winding down for this season of sorts, how's next season looking? When do you guys really start to push hard for the next season?
Well, we begin to push hard for next season right about now, but it's sort of unique in that we are still having to select our music director, which will take place at the end of this season. We've had four candidates in, and these last two concerts will be the second visits of the final two candidates, and then shortly thereafter we hope to make a decision and then have an announcement by early June who our next music director will be. So we have dates for the season, but we don't have programming for the season yet.
Oh, okay.
The dates will be out within the next couple of days, and then we will go from there. And once we hire someone, we will progress very quickly to have next season put together because it's our 25th anniversary season.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. So doing anything big for the 25th?
Hopefully, yes.
Okay. So those plans are, I'm assuming, underway, like the thoughts for them anyway.
There are some thoughts underway.
Oh, wow. That's exciting.
I mean, we will have two, you know, large 25th anniversary galas, which will feature, you know, movie from the silver screen. And that will be here in Bloomington on October 8th. And then we'll follow in Springfield in the spring.
Nice. Nice. Beth, you and I were talking earlier about volunteer opportunities with the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, and there are a few opportunities available.
There are some opportunities, and Trevor can probably touch upon that some too, but the Illinois Symphony, we work hard to try and get music out into the schools, and so, you know, there's an opportunity to volunteer with our education committee if there's ways to volunteer with our guild, which is our fundraising group. They are very diligent about holding receptions after each of the concerts, and so there's opportunities for people to get involved with that. Or something as easy as program stuffing prior to the concert. But
yeah, and also, you know, for the gala, we have a very active committee of volunteers, partially guild, partially board, partially just members of the community that want to support the Illinois Symphony. So there's many opportunities to get involved with the symphony. And, you know, we are always looking for new volunteers who can lend their expertise to the orchestra.
Okay, so if somebody does want to volunteer, what number do they call?
They can go to our website at symphony.org and get our contact information, but you can just call the main Illinois Symphony Orchestra office at 800-401-7222 and dial any one of our extensions, and we'll be happy to get you some information.
Great, great. Beth, Trevor, anything else that we missed? Anything else you want to get out there?
I mean, I think the only other thing is one of the big activities of the Guild here in Bloomington is definitely their, you know, sort of the volunteer fundraising arm. And they will be having a kitchen tour coming up in June, the Lavender and Lemons kitchen tour that will take people to, I think, 6 or 7 different kitchens in the Bloomington area, including one outdoor kitchen. And then we also have our Around the Town Chamber Music Series, which are free concerts in smaller venues in the community. And our next one would be on June 2nd at First United Methodist Church in Normal, right next to the ISU campus. And it will feature a brass quintet. So,
oh, nice.
Another way to see the symphony that we try to make it accessible to everyone in the community.
Okay, well, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
That's not far.
What are we going to do? Hike?
Sure.
Are we there yet?
Yep, it's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org, brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back to Be in the Know. And this week we have a group that we always work with. Children's Home and Aid, we do several things with you throughout the year. Jeannie, how are you doing?
We're busy right now.
I bet.
April is a busy month for us here at Children's Home and Aid.
Okay, so what is April? It's designated something, correct?
April is designated to Child Abuse Prevention Awareness. And so we at the agency have several events throughout the month to support all those who do prevention work to prevent future abuse and neglect.
Okay. And we have an easel in our lobby. Can you tell us about that? Why is that there?
Sure. April 17th through the 21st is Childhood Exposure to Violence Week. And we partnered with several different agencies throughout the community. And we had a bunch of kiddos create artwork that talks about My Heart Feels Happy When. And so we're fortunate enough to be able to display all that artwork throughout the community, just kind of bringing awareness again that it affects kids on every single level.
And you said you had people calling you this year to bring them in?
We did. We're very excited. Those easels are pretty popular this year. And there's about 20 locations throughout the community that they'll be displayed. So keep an eye out for art exhibit called Childhood Exposure to Violence Week.
Okay, and we're going to talk about the 5K here in a second. It's coming up quick, huh?
It is. It's April 29th, so we're getting ready and gearing up for it.
And joining us is Amy Lichtenberg. April is Child Abuse Prevention Awareness Month. Amy, what does this month mean to you?
Well, this month is a month that Children's Home and Aid helps me honor my sons, Duncan and Jack Lichtenberg. They were clients of the Children's Home and Aid Center. They were receiving supervised visits there with their father, and then the center had lost their funding for the supervised visits. And at that point, the boys then were receiving unsupervised visits. And then on their 6th unsupervised visit, their father kidnapped them. They were missing for 3 weeks. And then they were found in a rural part of Illinois where he had murdered them. So this is my way of helping keeping their memory alive and also making sure that no parent ever feels this pain again. This center can't lose their funding. They have to continue to be able to give these services to parents who need these. It's very important because these things happen every day, and it's a silent epidemic that's occurring in our country, and we need to protect our children.
And one thing you can do is participate in the 5K.
Absolutely. Please come out. Bring your dogs, bring your kids. It's a great time. It's going to be a color run this year in honor of the boys. They're going to do blue and green colors. Those were the boys' favorite colors. I'm really looking forward to how we have revamped everything. I think it's going to be a great time. Please come out. Look forward to seeing everybody out there.
And now Laura is here from Children's Home and Aid. You have some details on the run.
Absolutely.
Okay. Throw them at us.
This year, we are at Fairview Park instead of Tipton. Things are kicking off on Saturday, April the 29th at 9 o'clock in the morning is when registration starts. We will have our balloon release at 10. At the walk will start at 10:15, and the run will start at 10:30.
And it's a color run this year.
It is a color run, which
Yay,
is super exciting.
Yay, that is very exciting.
And it's only $35 to register.
Okay, and at this point, you can't guarantee a t-shirt size, right? Didn't
Correct.
You need to sign up like a few days ago?
Yeah, by last Friday.
Oh, okay.
But I think we should be good. I think I
should be good
really
with t-shirts.
Well.
Okay. Okay, and you're promising great weather, right?
Yes.
Last year it was gorgeous.
The last 2 years it's not been too bad.
Right.
But last year was perfect.
Yeah. So this year, bigger and better. Lots of people have registered, lots of sponsors. Why do you think this gets more successful every year?
I think this being the seventh year, and it's been my fourth year doing it, and I think it's just progressively getting the word out, and you guys here at Great Plains Media have been wonderful.
Oh, thank you. And I think probably consistency, because you know what you need to do from year to year.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jeannie and I make a really good team, and we kind of cover everything.
Okay. And I know you can register from the websites here at Great Plains Media. What is your website?
It's childrenshomeandaid.org.
And you can register from there as well.
Correct.
So if people wake up that morning, want to run, they can, right? They can get there and register?
Yes, they can register between 9 and 10.
Okay.
And we have some really amazing goodie bags to give away this year.
Ooh, can we get a sneak peek? What's in the goodie bags?
There are water bottles, there are sunglasses, there are pencils, and ice cream coupons.
Ooh.
And the bags are reusable shopping bags.
Oh, those always come in handy. Okay, Jeannie, so the details on the registration.
Anybody can register up until the 27th online registration at www.childrenshomeandaid.org. And you can click on there and register again up until the 27th. Or you can come out to prepackaged pickup at Firehouse Pizza in Uptown Normal. And we'll be there on the 28th from 5 to 7 p.m. Or you can come the morning of, and registration begins at 9 a.m. And you can register from 9 to 10 a.m.
So, Jeannie, I read stories every day about this whole budget crisis in Illinois. I'm assuming that affects Children's Home and Aid.
The budget crisis is affecting social service and other agencies all across the community. We're on year two without a state of Illinois budget, and that's why it's even more important that we have events such as our 5K, because it allows us to keep funds coming into the program so we can stay alive, so we can continue to protect children and families in times of crisis.
Thank you for tuning in to Be in the Know. I want to thank our guests, Mike Hoffman from the Midwest Food Bank, Trevor Orthman and Beth Wakefield from the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, and from Children's Home and Aid, Jeannie Higdon, Laura Cordero, and Amy Lichtenberg. Next week, Molly Wilder, the First Lady of Shinoa, in to talk about the Shinoa Hog Raffle. You can find out where those proceeds are going. And Officer Crone will be in. He's a McLean County deputy, and he'll be talking to you about deputies on deck. Check out the community calendar on our website. Coming up this Wednesday from 6 until 8, Advocate Broman Medical Center will offer a Heart Saver CPR class at the Advocate Broman Health and Fitness Center. That's at 111 Trinity Lane in Bloomington. Registration is required. Have a happy Easter, and we'll talk to you again next week.